Welcome to the All Bodies Nutrition Podcast. I am your host, Delaney Agresta, and I am a weight-inclusive registered dietitian. I started this podcast to help people like you heal their relationship with their bodies and food. Each week, there is a new episode that talks about different topics surrounding eating disorder recovery, diet culture, weight inclusivity, and more. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening. Hey guys, welcome back to the All Bodies Nutrition Podcast. This is your host, Delaney, and as always, I'm so grateful to have you here with me today. Today, I have a very special guest, which I've been so excited about. I am a huge fan of hers. Her name is Julia Barrett. If you aren't already following her on Instagram, I don't know what you're doing. I will link all of her social media accounts in the show notes, but I'm so excited to have her all the way from California. Julia, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here today.
And, you know, I've been following you for such a long time. And, you know, you and I were kind of chatting prior to this, like, recording. And I mean, social media is such a different place than what it used to be. And then especially compared to, like, growing up seeing, like, normal-sized people, like, you know, body diversity, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have that growing up. I don't think you really had that growing up. And so it's so nice to really see such a different kind of take now. And like, I'm sure you have your own opinions about like the fashion industry and society in general in terms of like inclusivity. And obviously there's like such a long way to go, but I would love to hear like your story and like how you came to doing what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it starts a little more back in the day. I never had a good relationship with my body. Oh my goodness. Like I struggled with disordered eating for almost a decade. And I was always the bigger kid in school. And I always felt so abnormal. I went to a private school with 60 kids in my grade. And like, I just like, there's that Taylor Swift song right now where she's like, I felt like a monster on a hill. That was me growing up. I fully felt like that. And so I'm from Texas and I went to college in Oklahoma at the University of Oklahoma. And while I was there in my first year of college, I got scouted on Instagram to be a plus size model. And I was like, hold up. First of all, like, I think I'd put so much pressure on myself growing up to, honestly, at that time, there wasn't much plus size representation on Instagram and modeling and fashion and anything. It's like 4 or 5 years ago, or okay, 5 years ago. And I was like almost offended, honestly. I was like, you think I'd be a plus size model? But then I was like, you know, we're going to push past the ego. We're just going to try this, like, see how it is, see what it is. And for the first time I showed up on like my first modeling job, I showed up on set and there were clothes that fit me. And I was like, oh, this is what this is supposed to feel like. This shouldn't be me like stuffing myself into jeans that are too small in the Target dressing room and crying about it. Like, oh, I get it now. And for me, it was like, honestly, a very radical experience being like, wait, I don't need to keep trying to push myself into something that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Without it being like a situation, honestly, like being in school where I was, that situation didn't work really well for me. And then what I was doing to my body, and I was like, oh, we have some work to do. And so as I delved more into fashion and modeling, like my idea of my body completely changed. And I really went into recovery, maybe not necessarily intentionally, but very much so, like, just understanding that my body doesn't need to look like everyone else's and being around that and, you know, seeing more girls who look like me and then following more people on Instagram who I was meeting through work and things. I was like, oh, it's like, I'm not weird. I'm pretty normal actually. And this is like, it was a radical like idea to me at the time, which sounds so silly now because there's so many, you know, like you walk into most stores now and there's different size models on the walls of things. But at that time, like, that did not exist. And so then as I kept growing in my career, I kept just sharing it online. And then it kind of snowballed into me living in LA now and talking on the internet being my job.
I think that's so cool. And I find it so interesting that the way like your path and your journey with like body image recovery and things like that was kind of like the reverse. So it wasn't like you had healed your body image and then got into like modeling and being out there in the world. It was kind of like that's like the vehicle that drove you to be able to heal your relationship with your body and say like, oh my God, like this is like normal and this is like how it should always have been.
It's definitely weird. It's definitely not normal, but I'm so grateful. I think like everything's very much so meant to be. And I'm so grateful this one crazy modeling agent was like, you should give this a try because, I mean, I don't know where I would be without that. It's wild.
That's so amazing. So, like, you were scouted via Instagram. And so, like, were you already posting like modeling type photos, or was it just like you were posting just photos in general and you were just like somehow that fell into your lap?
It was mostly selfies. That was like my favorite pastime in high school and college, to be honest with you. But no, like there was like a local photographer in Oklahoma who like had taken a couple pictures of me and I posted that. But like nothing really else other than that. Like it was wild. And yeah, I mean, there was a time though when I think other like brands started posting like needing more curvy models. So everyone was like, wait, we have to catch up quickly because you know the fashion industry had been so exclusive before. They're like, we have demand, we need, there's money to be lost here,
Yeah.
we need to get on this.
I think that's so true. And, you know, like I've been reflecting, obviously, all the time, because that's like what I do in my head, about like just like my relationship with my body. And it's been like a very tumultuous one. And, but in terms of like fashion, you know, like growing up in like the 2000s, like late 2010, stuff like that, when I was in high school and college, like there wasn't any cute clothes for individuals that were in a size above like a large. Like you're lucky if you got an extra large. So like my love for fashion was mostly based around like accessories, because like a bag could always fit you, jewelry could always fit you, and like that was like where I would like pour all of my like money into, because like that's what would fit me, you know, like you could wear like a nice pair of designer sunglasses and it doesn't have like a size. And it's just so interesting now to see like brands obviously catching on that there's like a huge market of individuals who are actually normal size. Like the normal size, the average size of a woman in the United States is like a 16, which I'm sure that's like antiquated data. It may be larger than that, but like it's just so insane where like a normal sized body is considered like other.
It is so strange. And I remember when I first started modeling, an older model came, talked to me on set, and she's like, by the way, when you're getting in this, just hope you know, like, I've been in this for 15 years. Like, you're never going to wear anything cute. You're going to make a bag, but you're not going to be any wearing anything cute because it's just not available. And so in the past, you know, 5 years, seeing that change so dramatically of even, I know fast fashion isn't great, but you know what? They are the ones in most scenarios who are providing clothes for bigger people that make us feel good, that make us not feel other than. And so, you know, like it's just wild to see how radically things have changed though, but also so much so because of social media and people's like directly really having a voice. I mean, really in terms of just having a voice in these rooms, plus size people never had that. And but I completely agree. I mean, accessories, I'm still such a bag girl. I don't really like to spend a lot of money on clothes because I'm like, oh, that may not fit me at some point, and like I don't want to have dropped a zillion dollars on something. I'd much rather spend it on a Prada bag that I can hold on to forever.
They last forever. I forgot who I was talking to. It was another content creator on social media, and I was talking about how like I'm so crazy. Like I remember my first pair of designer sunglasses, and I like got them when I was in 8th grade, and I like still have them. They're like these black Versace ones. I would never wear them, but like
That's iconic.
I still have them and they're in perfect condition because I'm a psychopath with like keeping everything. And I'm just like, but I have that memory of like feeling so cool and feeling so like confident because of being able to like wear something, because I couldn't fit into Sevens jeans or like, you know, that was like the big thing back in the day. And I don't know if they're like in size inclusive now. I haven't like really checked.
I don't know.
Do they even exist anymore?
I don't know. Honestly, I've just fallen down the rabbit hole of Abercrombie's redemption story. So there I'm like, at this point with your curve love jeans, that's all I need so I don't deviate.
You know what? It's so funny. I was trying on a pair. I haven't like I'm not a big in-store shopper, but like one of my clients highly recommends like the Abercrombie jeans and she dresses so cool. So I was like, "Oh, let me try them." And I don't know if I just like wasn't trying on the right pair, but like there was like no stretch to them and I was like, "I'm not about to do this right now."
I always like to size up, but yeah, no, I'm a big, I hated in-store shopping growing up, mostly because, as many of us dealt with, there wasn't my size in store, and I'd be that like girl going to the mall with my friends, and they'd be like trying things on, and I'd just be like looking at the same necklaces for 45 minutes. So I hate shopping in store. So I will just put in a big order online, and I'll buy like two, three sizes of everything, and then return it because we don't have time for that. And I just don't look at the sizes. I just will start trying them on. I throw music on in my house, and I just try to make it a positive experience because it's so easy to spiral in that scenario. Oh my goodness.
And I think like the whole sizing thing like really messes with people's heads. I know a lot of my personal clients, they struggle with like sizing up or recognizing that their body has changed in recovery. And I try to explain to them that first of all, sizing is not the same across the board. Like a 16 at one store is not a 16 in another store, and it may not even be the same in like this and even in the same store.
Exactly, or even like every material's different. Like every that was something I really struggled with, was accepting that, I really, and it's a script, like I really prided myself of, like, but I was like a size 10. I was like, well, I'm still this. I can still fit in a large. And I was stuffing myself with things that didn't fit me, and it didn't serve me, and I was uncomfortable, and I'd leave these like red marks all over my body where it taking off my clothes because it did not fit me. And no, that was like a big thing for me. But what now I feel very comfortable, like, oh, that's a fit. Not meant to be. On to the next. Like, I think for me at least, it's been a very much so like removing the emotion from clothes of also like, this is not the end all be all. This pair of jeans, it's just a pair of jeans. I'm so much like, who I am is so much more than this, what the size of my butt or my calves, you know what I mean? Like, but that took a long time to get there.
It takes time, and each person has like their own individual way of getting through it and getting past like all the diet trauma. So I'm sorry to whoever's listening. There isn't a one size fits all approach when it comes to like, healing that type of thing. But it is 100% possible.
100%. And I think just again, it's like more options become available. I think it does become maybe a little bit more streamlined because you're no longer faced with, like, I think a lot of us had a fear of like never being able to have these options. And now those options are so much more available that it's, at least in my mind, a little bit less scary because even if you size up, like you can, like, there, it's not like we're stuck with Moo Moos anymore, where there's so, like, you can still really express yourself and feel comfortable in your, like, in your personality, not just covering up and wearing grandma clothes that don't feel like who you are.
No, that's so true. And so, like, what is it like doing what you do? Like, when you do a shoot or whatever, like, is it different? Is it like all like curve models? Is it like a mix? Or does it depend who you're working with?
It depends who you're working with, but typically, for most brands, I'm the only curve girl on set. There's typically like me and a straight size model or multiple straight size models. And that can be a little intimidating. I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of tokenism that occurs. Especially, I'm a size 14. I'm a standard size 14, which is kind of a sample size in fashion. So like they typically hire you within the samples because they get those early, so that way they can photograph them. So if you don't see a lot of diversity in fashion, that's typically why, just because of the process in which they get the clothes. But it can be rough sometimes. It's not, it's, I think it's one of those things where it feels really glamorous, but at the end of the day, your feet really, like, your feet are swollen and you can't get your shoes on properly, and you can have people saying like awful things about you all day. But I mean, there's a lot of positive experiences, but I think also people can feel very entitled to have like aggressive opinions about your body because you're being paid kind of as a mannequin, and that can be definitely a challenging experience.
I mean, I feel like that's like a whole other. I mean, I think that's not just for individuals in like curvy bodies, but probably for any size individual. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen like America's Next Top Model. And I just remember like thinking of like who they said was like a plus size model back then. And like in my head, I was like, she just looks like an average size person. Like, what was she like a size six or something? And it's disgusting how people talk about other people. It's really like,
I remember that vividly, and I remember it was Whitney, I think, on season 10, and I worshipped at the altar of that show. Like, that was my end all be all. And yeah, no, I was watching it, and I remember I was in like middle school time, and I looked like Whitney. Like, I was probably around her size then, and I was like, oh no, if that's like, it was more of like, if they're gonna say all this about her, when I get older, what are they, what would they say about
Yeah.
me? But I think like that show was so toxic, and it's really
Yeah.
wild though that like we all had to grow up in an environment where like we saw them talking about her, so then like our brains would run wild of, well, what would they
Yes.
say about us, and like comparing ourselves. And honestly, like everyone who like survived the Y2K era honestly deserves compensation,
Like
like
honestly, 100% because
free therapy, something.
even a free pair of like jeans that fit.
Honestly, yeah, we all deserve that. That was hard, and I don't know, I mean, how everyone didn't grow up with like severe body dysmorphia going through that.
I think, I mean, from my experience working in like a clinical space, most people have it, like regardless of their size. Like I work with mostly disordered eating and eating disorder women struggling or, you know, teens struggling with that. And like regardless of their body size, they experience all those things. And it's upsetting because it's you can never really like uproot, like you can uproot that trauma, but it's like still in your head. You know, like you can like correct yourself and say like, no, that's not true. Like this is fine. But then at the same time, like when you've lived so long with that perception because of what society like kind of programmed us to think, it's tough.
Oh, I absolutely believe that. I mean, I know we all say like, oh, everyone has bad days, but yeah, no, some days I wake up and I'm like, it we feel almost feels like I never had these growing experiences, and I'm back to being like 16, 17 again, and I'm like, oh, there's still like, I don't know if you can, and I'm like, do you heal past that, or is that just kind of like, unfortunately, the scars we get to continually work through because of the trauma we've all experienced?
Yeah.
It's a fun mind game.
It's like I always tell my clients, like you're in recovery, but like you're never fully recovered. Like depending on the like parts of your life, like what you're dealing with, like what stress you're dealing with, what like crazy situations you're like what's going on in the world. It brings up a lot of that stuff to light. So like I know for women, if they are like trying to have children or, you know, pregnant, like that brings up a whole other kinds of thing of feeling like, you know, oh wait, I'm like supposed to actively gain weight and like this is what my body's supposed to be doing. And then you have healthcare providers who are very fat phobic and they're saying like, oh, like how much did you gain? Like that's way too many pounds. And like it's just such a difficult and hard position for many people.
Especially, I mean, like doctors, there's so much fat phobia still there. It's like, one of my very close friends is pregnant right now, and hearing her experiences of like hopping around doctors and just hearing all of the like outdated things they say, you're like,
Yeah.
oh, like I think especially when you're, at least for myself, I'm in a very great bubble of the internet, you know, where
Same.
most people around me, like my friends and people I surround myself with, they're very body positive. They're typically curvy women like myself, like I feel very normal, but then sometimes I walk out in the world, I'm like, oh wait, I just live in a nice bubble on the internet. This is
Yeah.
maybe not as progressive as reality is. Like,
This is
oh, like
true.
it's always a rude awakening.
No, it really is. And like I definitely have like curated my feeds to reflect like my like the way that I want things to feel so that when I'm scrolling like through my feeds, like I see women of all sizes, like whether they're smaller than me or larger than me, like it's just something to very much so normalize what you're taking in. 'Cause like if you remember like growing up around the time when we did, and I think we should definitely talk about Lizzie McGuire, aka Hilary Duff. But like I remember like those were the shows that we watched, and like there was never anyone who was in any type of like larger size body. And if they were, it was like they were being made fun of, or they weren't like dressed cute, or they definitely weren't the main character. And so like it definitely like growing up with that and not seeing that as a normal thing screwed us up mentally, you know, like how we view ourselves, how we view other people. And I have a great episode that I did last month of the podcast with someone who is also a dietitian, and we talk about like the inherent weight bias that a lot of us have without even recognizing it. And so it's not like an overt thing where we're like where someone in their head is thinking like, oh, I hate fat people. It's just like things like, oh, like if that person has like a larger stomach in our head, like, do we have a thought about it, that? How does that make us feel? You know, does it make us feel uncomfortable? And like, why is that? So it's like a lot of work that we have to do, not just like for ourselves, but how we like go out into the world and interact with others.
Yeah, and what you were saying about, making curating your feed to be really diverse, that's always, people ask me about like confidence or how to feel better about yourself. That's always my first piece of advice. It's like, follow a wide variety of bodies, because if you can see the beauty in them and things that are relatable to you, it's easier to look in the mirror and see that in yourself. And also just mute anyone, unfollow anyone who makes you feel some type of way about yourself. Like, doesn't matter, it's never that deep. If it's someone you went to high school with 6 years ago, you know what? It's okay. You can hit the, you can mute them if you really don't want to unfollow them.
Yeah.
But also, like, if Kim K is making you feel some type of way, hit the unfollow button. She's not going to notice.
Yeah,
Like,
definitely
it's
not.
the impact it's going to have on you. That's what's important.
I think I like personally have gone out of my way to like follow like more of a diversity in terms of like even just like ethnicity and like different cultures on how they dress compared to like, you know, America and things like that. And I think it's just so important because then it just like normalizes when you see it, and then it becomes a point where you don't even notice that you're like looking at something that you may never normally wouldn't have.
That's so true. Yeah, just normalizing that, and make, I think also just we can live in a bubble where the TikTok algorithm loves to show us people who look like us, and it is kind of hard to, like, you need to be very intentional about that. Just reminding yourself, like, wait, seeing a lot of white skinny girls, let's switch it
Yep.
up. Or I'm seeing a lot of girls who just look, or white size 14s that look just like me. Let's switch it up.
Yeah.
Because, but also, like, those other creators deserve to be promoted. And unfortunately, algorithms don't necessarily do a great job of that for people of color or just bigger people. Like,
Yeah, for
it's real
sure.
out here.
No, it really is. And it's just so unfortunate. And so even in the like dietitian world, there are like white women who are like in thin bodies that like preach like the same stuff that I do, and they get like so many more views and like so much more reach. And it's just like, it's just the algorithm is 100% biased, and it's just frustrating because like I think that the more normal it becomes for other people to see these things and to see like, oh, it's not just like a thin person talking about recovery, it's people need to recover from disordered eating or an eating disorder in any sized body. It's not just like really skinny people that like a lot of people in the past would have thought like, oh, that person has an eating disorder. No, it could be anyone in any size body.
I remember when Tess Holliday, she came out with, she was talking about her eating disorder experience, and being in a bigger body, and like everyone came for her throat in a way that was like very like scary to view, honestly. I mean, like,
Yeah.
I remember it was on the cover of, I think, People magazine, and everyone was like just so angry that, like, why is she saying that? Like, well, anyone can have an eating disorder. Anybody can be struggling with disordered eating. It, like, your body is not the first thing, like, signal of that. Anyone at any weight can be
100%.
experiencing that. And it's, again, just so wild how you can forget how far behind some people in the world are when it
Yes.
comes to body and body image.
It's so true. And like, that's why I like scream it from the rooftops that like you can have an eating disorder or disordered eating and not look sick. And it's actually more common for an individual in like an average size body or a plus size body or a larger body or whatever you want to refer to it as, that they have an undiagnosed eating disorder or disordered eating, than individuals who are in smaller sized bodies. Like there's like a greater percentage, but it generally doesn't become like noticed, especially by healthcare providers, because they just say like, oh, like yeah, you could lose weight, so like whatever. And like unfortunately, like I experienced that when I struggle with generalized anxiety disorder. I talk about it very openly on like social media and on the podcast. And like when I was previously going to therapy, which it was not a good experience. The woman was like not great. But I was telling her how like I would wake up every morning and I would feel so nauseous every single day. And it was so hard for me to eat. And she's like, well, you're not really losing weight. So like, are you really not eating? And I was like, that was the last time I ever saw her. I emailed her and I said I was never
Good.
going back. But it was so
Good.
messed up. And it's like, you can't look at someone and know their health. You can't look at someone and know what they're eating. And, you know, I always like to remind people, like, if you have been dieting in the past for as long as I was first like actively trying to lose weight when I was 8 years old. So like that trauma is in my body, and like that screwed up my metabolism because literally my whole life I was trying to shrink my body. So if you're constantly trying to undereat and lose weight and gain weight and blah blah blah, the weight cycling, that messes with your metabolism. So your body views when you do eat as it being protective. Your body's really smart and knows what to do with food, and it wants to protect you. So when she said that, I was like, wow, this like lady literally hasn't listened to anything I've been saying this past 6 months. And like, I can't believe she just said that. It was like
Not
terrible.
6 months. Oh no.
Yeah, I was with her for 6 months, and like I was telling her, like I was starting Instagram. This was like 2018, I think. And I was like starting to like, you know, obviously all dietitians are trained to promote intentional weight loss, as was I. And I kind of fell into this space where I was in recovery, and like I realized like all these people coming to me wanting to lose weight were all struggling with disordered eating or an eating disorder. And like that is the most important thing to heal before anything else, whether it's like you have diabetes or high cholesterol or whatever it may be. Like all I care about is like healing a relationship with food. And I was like telling her this, and she still said that to me, and I was like, oh my God, I couldn't, like it was such a traumatic experience. And I was like, I can't believe this lady after all this time really doesn't know who she's talking to. So it was terrible. But like essentially, like the healthcare system is just so messed up. And when it comes to mental health, people are afraid of going on antidepressants or medication for their anxiety because they're scared that they're going to gain weight. And it's just so unfortunate.
I'm so sorry you experienced that. That is absolutely
Thank you.
horrible. But yeah, no, I mean, I know I've experienced, like, I've been scared at times to, like, go to the doctor and get, like, help with my mental health at times. 'Cause I'm like, well, what are, and, like, I'm like, is my weight going to be the conversation here? Or is it going to be what's going on? And I had that happen this last year. I went to the doctor, and half of the conversation about my weight, I was having this, like, I went vegan because I was trying to. The like I was like, oh, I'm gonna like be so healthy, I'm gonna feel my skin's gonna be so great. And it was not a weight loss thing for me. It was like I wanted to feel really good. Everyone's saying you feel really good. It's like that everyone in LA is vegan, so it's like let's go. And I did it like overnight, and within months I was having all these crazy health issues. Like my eyesight was getting worse, I was not sleeping, I was having panic attacks on a daily basis. I was super depressed. I went to the doctor and they were like, well, no, that's good, you're like not eating all of this, but like, and it's like they kept talking about my weight, and I was like, and not about my mental health. And I was
Oh
like,
my God.
cool, great. I ate a steak, and I was like, well, I'm dramatically better now.
Yeah, no, I
But
mean, you know, the vegan conversation depend, you know, it really depends on like where you are in recovery, and the purpose behind it, you know. And unfortunately, it's one of those things where people talk so highly of it that everyone's like, oh my God, it's amazing. And it's like, I generally, from like a medical nutrition therapy standpoint, don't recommend veganism in terms of like your health, because it makes people very deficient in a lot of things. So you're probably very low in B vitamins, which can impact like your mental health, your sleeping, things like
Yeah.
that.
And it's crazy though, when I went in that doctor's appointment, and like it was a conversation like, oh, well, it's really good you're doing that for your health. But like all of my other things of like my eyesight getting worse was like
Yeah.
completely ignored. But the focus again was just on like, oh, well, you're in a bigger body, so our focus here
That's
needs to
so
be weight
true.
loss. It doesn't need to be all these other crazy symptoms I'm coming to you with. And it's such a wild experience. Like honestly, being in a bigger body, they're putting us through the wringer in every
I
which
know.
way.
I'm so
It's crazy the
sorry.
amount of internal work we have to do to just like be generally okay. It's so wild.
It's exhausting.
We have to put so much more work in, finding good doctors for us, of finding clothes, of finding like any of these things. And it's just,
It's so
I'm so
difficult.
grateful conversations like this can be continued to have, because I think the just the more they occur, the more people feel less alone, but also the more
Yeah.
hopefully the world keeps changing, because this should not be normal.
Yeah.
And like any of these things we have to talk about here, this shouldn't be normal, but this is the world that we have been brought into, where we just have to keep trying to fix it.
It's tough, and it's like that's why I'm grateful every day for like coming into the field. I actually was previously studying to be a physician because I like my whole life I wanted to be a doctor. And when I was in my junior year of undergrad, my mental health was not good at all. I didn't know that I had like generalized anxiety disorder, it would have like cured me of so much mental stuff, and I probably would have ended up going to medical school if I was like put on medication that helped me function normally. But I ended up becoming a dietitian because I was like, this healthcare system is insane, and like I want to be able to help people, and like medical school is not it for me. And so that's why I ended up, you know, pursuing this arena, and I've learned so much from working in a clinical setting. And it's just very upsetting that people, especially individuals who are in larger sized bodies, are like being overlooked and are struggling so much with their mental health. And like, for me, like I personally needed to go on medication. Like that was what I needed to like make my brain work normally. Like, no, Lenny, everyone does not wake up every day and have like terrible chest pains that should cause you to like heal over. And like I was just living normally, like as if that was normal, and like finding which medication works for me and working with my doctor, like I'm very grateful that I made that decision. But I think it's just like a very tough thing for people. So like when you go to the doctor and you're like, oh, my pinky hurts, and they're like, oh wait, let's talk about your weight, like what does that have to do with anything?
Really, it's like, not like, I understand that you've been trained to think this way about bodies, but like there's so much more information out there. I feel like in the medical profession especially, your job is to continually be learning, not just to stick with like if we kept doing procedures the same way people did 40 years ago, well, we probably wouldn't be surviving all these operations. So like
this
maybe we
true.
Should be updating our views of bodies just along with that as we're learning new procedures and things, because your views on bodies shouldn't be the same as they were 40 years ago. We have so much more information.
100%. And like when you first, when you were explaining your symptoms, I was like, I would have ran labs. I would have said, okay, we need to see her, all of her B vitamins and your fat soluble vitamins, which can inhibit your eyesight and like cause blindness, because if you're not eating enough fat, your body's not able to absorb those vitamins. So like you were definitely deficient. So like I'm glad that you were able to like get through that by, you know, changing it up. But it sucks that you went to the doctor and they brought up something that was not even relevant.
Yeah, it was a frustrating experience, definitely not a great one. So I'm a big believer now, just in general. I'm like, anyone I meet, I'm like, whenever you change your diet, go talk to a doctor, do it slowly. And it's crazy though. I look back and I'm like, oh, I understand why I did that now though. Of like, I was like, I thought I could make such radical changes because, you know, growing up for myself at least, I always thought like these crazy diets you had to go on, like, oh, you need to go down to be eating this much or this much. And so I thought like, oh, well, I mean, like, I've always made radical change with that body, forgetting that it always went incredibly poorly. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense. But like, Julia, what were you thinking? What were you doing?
It's so true. And unfortunately, like even on social media, like there's no regulation. Like I personally have liability insurance for my like working with clients. So everything that I recommend is like based on science. It's not just like, oh, like I did this and it felt good, so like you should do this too. And unfortunately on social media, you can have someone who has a large following, no credentials, no education, and they're making these claims. Like, for example, I don't know if you've heard of polycystic ovary syndrome, PCOS.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big community on social media that like they tell you to go keto or carnivore or cut out carbs and this and that. And it's like, it gives people the wrong information. And then you just have people further damaging their relationship with their bodies and with their health and things like that. So it could be like super dangerous. Like, I'm not saying that being a vegan is a bad thing. I'm just saying like, for the purpose that like you are kind of looking towards it for, like you can eat all the fruits and vegetables you want, but like you don't necessarily need to go vegan to be healthy.
And it's that I think we can really easily, and I feel it, I think we all fall into this, if we're all easily influenced, we're all easily, we see a result online, which we don't know how it was like maintained or created. And then we think, oh, whatever they're saying, okay, sell me some vitamins, sell me some, like it's so easy to forget sometimes the diet industry is a billion dollar industry. And their whole goal is to make us feel bad about ourselves because that's how they're going to make money. Yep. And like a lot of content we consume, even if we don't realize it, like, there's some green powder you can put in water and drink that now, that like, it's like, I think it's going to give me stomach issues for 6 weeks, but Thank you so much. But, you know, all of these people with quote unquote ideal bodies are telling us we all need to have this. I know so many of my friends who are like, oh, I just signed up for like a reoccurring subscription of this and I
Oh
saw,
my
and it just
God.
made me feel horrible. I'm like, we just got diet cultured, man. We just, they
I
did it
know.
again.
And the scary part is it's not always like a personal trainer or like a nutritionist. Like, I want to remind everyone that nutritionists, like, you can call yourself a nutritionist. Like, a nutrition certification is not recognized in the medical field. Like, as a nutritionist, you cannot work in a clinical setting. A hospital will not hire you. A dietitian has a very different background, a very rigorous background of science-based, and like you have to apply to a dietetic internship and do like 1200 hours of different rotations and blah blah blah. But like people, even influencers, they could be fashion influencers, they could be lifestyle influencers, they're like, oh my God, like I started taking these vitamins and it literally gave me so much energy, so here's my code for 30% off, use my name. And like I'm like, vitamins don't give you energy, food gives you energy. There's no such thing as getting energy from a vitamin.
Are you having caffeine, sis? Is that what we're talking about
Yeah. Is Coca-Cola, are you doing a deal with Coca-Cola? But it's true. So like if you're following an influencer and they happen to be in a body that you find like attractive or you aspire to have, and they're promoting these like vitamins or whatever, and like, one of the biggest culprits of this diet culture nonsense are the Kardashians. Like they've, promoted flat tummy tea, waist trainers. Now Kourtney Kardashian has her own line of like energizing gummies and matcha gummies, and
I
it's
fell
like,
for that
are they good?
one. I like the calm one of I have a hard time sleeping, so but I did my own research.
No, that's fine. But I think more in terms of like giving that aesthetic of like living like this like amazing life, and you're like in a thin body and like,
It's like one of Paltrow Goop stuff.
yeah. So it's like you can totally buy them and it's fine. And they're not like necessarily those specific vitamins are not promoting like intentional weight loss or anything like that. But I also want people to recognize that all these supplements and vitamins, I don't care if they say that they're 100% natural, organic, if literally someone is like making them in your like backyard for you. There's no FDA regulation. So they could literally just put pure sugar in it. And it's like, there's no one to tell them that, like, okay, like, no, you actually have to put, 5 milligrams of melatonin in it if that's what you're saying. So the labeling laws are really crappy. But it is just important because a lot of times, not necessarily the Kardashian situation, but like any company in general, like if you're taking certain medications, they can have interactions with certain vitamins and minerals, and it can like cause things not to work properly. Or like if you
That's so
overtake
scary.
one vitamin and if it is absorbed through the same pathway in the body as another vitamin, you can like cause a deficiency. It's like could be very serious. Yeah.
Wow,
No,
that's so scary.
it
Like,
is true though, because I mean people, they say like, oh, I'm gonna take this vitamin, but it's all natural. It says it's organic. And like, I mean, I have family members that have like fridges full of like all this Dr. Oz stuff, and I'm like, why are you taking all this? Like, okay, take a regular multivitamin. I do recommend, like, that's fine. If you're someone who doesn't eat like a lot of meat, there's like certain vitamins that you could take to help supplement certain things, but like it should always be like individually recommended,
that's wild.
if that makes sense. Yeah, so it's like kind of crazy where people just like take this stuff and they're like, oh, it's so good for me. And so like that's one of my gripes with like social media and things like that, is that people get these deals. Obviously, I get it. You want to make money, phenom, wonderful for you. But it like you're influencing people to take stuff that we don't even know if they need.
There's a way to, and there's also a way to do things where you're not like lying. I think a lot of people can blur that quite a bit
Yeah.
of, well, they want to sell it well, but you're not supposed to be a walking infomercial.
This is
And
true.
I think that can get blurred a lot. You'd be also very discerning with who you're following and, you
Yeah.
know, sussing out what's real and what's just a money grab, because it can be hard, you know, like
Yeah.
there's so many people you can follow online and you're like, well, I want their life and this is so perfect. And so all of a sudden they're selling you all this stuff and you're like,
Yeah.
that's not like, what's going on here? That's not, it's not related. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
Doesn't make much sense, but you get what
It's and people are so good at it that it's like woven. It's like, oh, this is my get ready routine, and then I take this supplement. Like, you know, you're talking about like the green powder or whatever, you hear it advertised. I mean, I personally don't take any advertisements for the podcast. I just like it's free. I don't make any money off of it. I just do it because I want to help people and I want people to have this information readily available. But I have definitely been approached by different companies to promote things like, oh, pre-workout stuff. And I'm like, you know, sorry, thank you, not interested, because, you know, you could just drink coffee. Like, you don't need to pay $40 for something fancy.
I'll never forget, on that note of when I first started influencing, the first brand that ever reached out to me was the Flat Tummy Tea, and it was,
Oh
they came out with lollipops, that diet,
my
like appetite suppressant
God. Yeah.
lollipops. And it was when I had first really talked about like eating disorder recovery online, and like it was in like the week I had done that post. I was so
Oh my
scared to post it.
gosh.
I was like, what was the plot of the movie? Like,
Yeah.
why do we think this is okay? And I told them no, and they just kept coming back with more and more money. I was like,
Insane.
and it was honestly mind-blowing. I had like 20,000 followers at the time, and I remember they came to me with like offering me like 6 grand for and at that following. I was like, but that just shows you like
There's
the grip they like the amount of money they're making off of people, like
exactly, 100%.
insane.
It's crazy, but I think it's like important for people to like you recognize the significance and the impact of your position, and you don't use it to profit off. You're not part of the problem. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, thank you.
and
Appreciate it.
of course, and I think like, you know, there are people who maybe are in the space that don't recognize that they are contributing to the problem, and I get it. But I think it's also important for us to like do our due diligence and like look at things from different perspectives and things like that.
I think my general rule of thumb is, and this comes with like hate comments, this comes with who I work with for advertisements and all those types of things. Like, I don't want to work with anybody where any of my followers would look at that and feel bad about themselves. Like, my entire goal is I want to be uplifting. And, you know, if I'm working with a flat tummy tea company, I'm not going to make myself feel good, but I'm not going to make my followers feel good. You know, my
Yeah.
goal is to not make people feel like there's something wrong with them or something bad about
Yeah.
themselves. Like, we can have honest conversations, but that stuff I don't mess with. And I think that, you know, the diet industry specifically is just so in that, like,
Yeah, for sure.
you're like, why are you welcoming that onto your followers? If I think there's a responsibility of, you know, people trust you, people go to you to just hang out with you every day, and like you're like their friends. Like, I'm not going to speak to the people who choose to have me on their timeline as like trying to sell them things. Like, I don't talk badly about my friends' bodies, so why would I try to tell people that they need to change
Exactly.
theirs?
And like what I like to always remind people is that like bloating is normal. I mean, of course, there is a limit of like if you're not pooping for like days on end and you have a very uncomfortable, you know, distended stomach, I would definitely recommend you seek out medical advice. But I mean, like the average person who like, you know, wakes up in the morning, your body looks one way at the end of the day after eating and drinking and everything, like your body's going to look different and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, that these retouched images we see, I mean, like we grew up like Victoria's Secret angels, they don't even look like that. They used to drop like
Yeah.
nobody looks like that. It's completely unrealistic. Yeah, no, that's bodies are so weird, and they do so many weird things. It's completely normal, but
Yeah, a
like, you
hundred
know,
percent.
the retouched version of things, not reality.
Yeah, and I think so like let's go into the post that we were talking about before with Hilary Duff, who obviously everyone loves. If anyone grew up in any time of like the 2000s or like when did the show start? Was it like the late 90s? No,
I think
right?
it was 2001 it came out. Why do I know that?
No, I love that. And you know what? Like when I was like rewatching the seasons, I thought that there was like five or six seasons. There was only two seasons.
Yeah, two seasons in a movie, and that was like, gosh, my Bible growing up. I moved around a lot as a kid, and so for me, like, to me, like Lizzie and Miranda were like my friends, and that sounds so silly, but so,
No, I
you know,
loved it. I remember
I've always been a
going to the
really big
movies
Hillary fan.
to see the movie because I still think it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
I still watch it. Even like it's my favorite movie still. Like, when it
It's
comes
such a
on
good
TV,
movie.
my dad will watch it because he knows I love it. Like,
Oh
my dad's seen it so many times.
my God, I love that. So like you did a post where like you, so how about you explain it?
Yeah, so in June of last, or I think it was June of last year,
June
Hillary Duff
3rd.
was on the cover of Women's Health magazine for their body issue, and it's an issue that is the celebrity being naked every year. And like the idea is showing like strength and like how much they're working out, which is cool. I mean, like they look great, and I'm a big Hillary stan. I was like, oh my God, she looks incredible. But then my second thought was like, I've never seen anyone who looks like me and that like looking like that. And so I kind of marinated on it, and I was like, I think I want to recreate the photo shoot, like shot for shot. And so I reached out to a friend of mine who's a photographer and a makeup artist. So I was like, hey guys, do you guys think we can pull this off in like a week? And so we rented a studio and we recreated the entire shoot, shot for shot,
I
and it
love
was the
it.
scariest thing I've ever done. I mean, I've never shot naked before. I had never thought about posting myself naked on the internet before. Like that was terrifying. But I don't know. I had this weird gut instinct. I was like, you need to do this. Like you need to do this.
No,
And it
it's
was the best
so
decision
good.
ever. It was so cool. But what's funny is I posted it and Instagram took it down within about an hour. And I
Stop.
was heartbroken. Like I was like crying. Like I was at an event and I started like crying. I had to
Oh
leave.
my
I was
God,
so
I.
frustrated. And so it went back up the like a day or two later, but it was so frustrating. But I mean, what was really cool was like Women's Health magazine noticed it, and like I tagged every,
Yeah.
oh my gosh, I tagged the writers of the articles, I tagged the editor in
Yeah.
chief of Women's Health. They were all in my comments, and it was such a cool feeling. My one big goal was to have Hillary see it, and Hillary
Yeah.
did get shown it. And because a photographer friend of mine was on tour with Hillary's husband, and so Hillary was there at this show one day, and my friend was like, hey, I don't know if you saw this, but my friend just reshot, like redid your shoot, and she showed her, and they were talking about it. That she put
My
on her Instagram
God.
story, and I would be crying happy tears on my floor for 20 minutes. It was the
I would
coolest.
still be crying happy tears.
Yeah, no, that was the peak of my last year,
Oh
like
my gosh.
full send. But with that came a lot of like little.
Yeah.
I think in general on social media, when anything goes viral, there's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad too, and. I did a couple interviews. I had one with Yahoo. I had one with Women's Health. And the Yahoo one, they weren't moderating their comments. I don't think they typically talk a lot of body related things. Like Women's Health is really good about that. But Yahoo was not. And they had a TikTok go viral of me and then the article. And I've never been told more insane things. And like I've been online for a few years now. I've had some weird things said to me. That was the worst. Like it was a barrage of hate. That felt almost never ending at times. Like, I mean, like my DMs were full of like crazy people. And I had to have a conversation with Yahoo. Like I reached out, I was like, hey, can we have a meeting? And they're like, I'm more busy. I was like, yeah, no, we need to have a meeting. And I was like, listen, we need to go through the comments here because I was okay. I felt very protective of the people who were seeing this post and saying, I look like that, I'm normal. And I want all those people seeing these insane comments. Like that completely negates the point. And so gratefully we talked got all of those comments taken down, but it was hard.
I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I obviously I'm not at the anywhere at that level of where you are in terms of visibility, but like I personally like don't really care what people say about me because nothing they could say nothing worse than what I have thought about myself. So that's number one. But I think that was such a good point that you made that like you didn't want other women or girls who were like looking at this and saying like, wow, like she looks like me or I look like her or you know whatever it is, and then like think like there's something wrong with them because it is very negative to because like once you go down that rabbit hole, I don't engage with that stuff anymore. Like I, you know, would get people like I did a post one time and it was like, losing weight is not going to make you happy. It's just not. And like I was getting all these like crazy weird men on honestly like getting
It's
so
always the
upset
men.
and I'm like and I at first I was like trying to like have conversation and then I was like okay I'm not doing this, this is so stupid.
Yeah, it's rough at times. People say just feel so entitled to say weird things, and they think also because they're online that like they can say whatever
Their
they want, but in
attack,
reality
yeah.
it's hard just knowing that that's what they think in real life. And that was a hard hurdle for me, I think, of
Yeah.
understanding that like again, like I live on a nice bubble on the internet. My first
Yeah.
reaction to everything was so positive. And but then seeing the negative, that was like a heart, like a reality jump. I was like, oh wait, the reason why this is important is because some people do still think this way, and do their
Yeah.
immediate thought is all these crazy negative things. And it was really hard, but at the same time, like I think, unfortunately, one, there's a lot of hate like that. It hopefully does open someone's eyes to be like, oh, maybe I'm the problem here. Maybe, you know, what I'm thinking and what I'm saying and my bias is really screwed up, and I need to work on that. And so I like to think that maybe at least a few people kind of
Same.
saw some Jesus through that.
And I think it's also just so like Instagram took it down because they flagged it as like nudity.
They flagged it initially because of nudity. And then I actually got to talk to the women's health team, and they had some issues with the same post of like, or like their, the Hillary post, that they had to like talk to their contact at Instagram about it. So it wasn't just a me thing, but for a minute I was like, what's going on? Because someone does have to like flag it.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, I had my account was like reported once because I shared someone else's photo, and it was a girl who like her body had changed significantly. She had a significant amount of extra skin, and she took like a photo. She was naked, but like you couldn't see anything. Like her hands were covering her boobs. Like there was literally nothing showing, and like I got in trouble for it. And like honestly, like I've been shadow banned ever since. But like I was so pissed because I was like, but then you go on like all these other girls' accounts that are in smaller bodies, literally basically naked, where they just like cover up their
I was
nipples,
saying the same
and
thing.
they don't like they can get 10,000 likes on it and it's not even a big deal.
Yeah, it's that is a complicated one. Of I think half of it is, I'm gonna do TikTok specifically. Half of it is algorithmically of the robot that's looking at the content sees more skin, and so they think bad, and so they flag it. And so there's a level of that that I comprehend, of it's a robot trying to see, trying to just keep the platform more clean, but unfortunately it does target bigger bodies a lot. I think the intention may not be bad, but unfortunately it snowballed into something that's very bad. But I
Yeah.
think, know that has like improved over time. I noticed like my content on TikTok doesn't get taken down as much, but oh my gosh, for probably 6 months last year, every single one of my videos would get taken down, no matter what I was wearing. I could be wearing a long sleeve shirt like I am right now and just be like selfie camera and taken down, taken down. So like
Same.
algorithmically it is very screwed up, that
Yeah.
there is so much bias towards bigger people. Like
It's
it's
just so
wild
bizarre.
how,
Like, if it's going to have like a certain standard, it should be the same for everyone, not
and I
just.
know like platforms are improving of their reporting process of like, if the AI catches it, you can appeal to a human, and the hum there's more humans now that look at it. And you can like list a reason, being like, I've seen other creators post the same type of thing, and you can like list that now. But it's very harmful though, having bigger bodied people being
Yeah.
basically censored, and even in just like the immediate trying to post, it's like a barrier to entry for bigger people, which
Yeah.
is very frustrating.
Especially people of color, like it's insane where like a lot of like TikTok trends will start with a black creator and then it'll get picked up and then like you'll see a bunch of white girls doing it and then they're the ones who get like the millions of views or whatever it would be, and I just think it's the system is rigged. That's
There's
basically.
been a lot of discourse lately about, there's this girl going viral right now, Alex Earle, who she knows, she makes the Get
I
Ready With Me
just
videos.
heard about her. I don't know who she is.
She's adorable. She's a college student, and she posts like Get Ready With Me's and talking about her wildly partying. And it's kind of a mood. Like, we love to
It's
live
like fun,
vicariously through other
yeah.
people. Yeah, but there's a lot of other Black creators who do similar things who get a tenth
Okay.
of the views and all this. And so this girl's become the it girl, and everyone's like, well, what about these other people? And it's
Yeah.
very true, you know, that it's like, that's why I think it's so important for, as just people in general, we follow people who don't look like you online,
Yeah.
because these people still create cool things and they will still inspire you. They just don't look like you. And that's a good thing, because if we live in a bubble where everyone looks like us, we're not pushed to change, our views aren't pushed to grow, and we just stay the same, and we're not seeing the beauty in other people. And we should be celebrating each other's differences, not just again, looking at a bunch of, I mean, for me, if I look just at all brunette white girls who are a size
Yeah.
14, my feed would be so boring.
You're like, I could just look in the mirror.
Exactly. Like, I'm great on my own. I don't need to see 100 other
Exactly.
people who look exactly like me. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of just body image, though, also following that is so important. And so, that is, if there's one thing we can all do, is go follow some creators who
Yes.
don't look like us today. Go follow some Black creators, some fat creators, as they call themselves. Like,
Yep.
just go expand who you're looking at, because you just get to see so much more beauty.
Yeah, I think that's so important, and it's something that I like talk about all the time on my posts every Sunday. I do like an unpopular anti-diet edition where like I'll like try to debunk like different things, and I always talk about detoxing your social media feed, following people in larger size bodies, getting used to seeing like, get ready with me's or fat, fashion. So even if you yourself aren't in a larger size body, like you could still get in fashion inspiration from someone in a larger size body. And so I think it's just important for us to continue to do that.
Yeah, my friends and I, we always talk about, we're all, most of my close friends are also plus models and plus creators, and we all talk about, like, yeah, no, it's honestly a lot harder to be fashionable while being plus size. Like, you have to put in three times the work. You are not just able to shop on Revolve and find the cute fit that everyone else is wearing. You're putting in work. So yeah,
Yeah,
no, you
no,
really
it's
should be getting your fashion inspo from the curvy girls, because they are sourcing things like you wouldn't
exactly.
believe.
No, that's so true. So, in terms of 2023, like, are there any things that you are excited about in terms of your work?
In terms of work, one actually was my one of my goals was to be on more podcasts. So this is a great way to start the year.
So
We were chatting and I was
excited.
like, take off the list for the month. But I am really hoping to, in general, I want to work with less fast fashion brands and work more intentionally with like smaller brands that are trying to, really expand their sizing. And I'd love to collaborate with more creators of all sizes, not just, again, we gravitate towards people who look like us.
Yeah.
So really growing in that realm. And I think just getting to talk to more people. I think as I've definitely, my career's definitely shifted in the last year. I definitely was mostly modeling, and I think I've fallen in love more with creating community online and getting to talk to more people. So just getting to do that more is great. And I'm really happy doing that. And then traveling. I want to travel as much as humanly possible.
Oh my God,
I used to
yes.
like have all this anxiety about like leaving my house, basically. And so I just want to see everything. And that's my year of just seeing the whole world, basically. I'm like, I'm gonna knock four countries off my list this year. I'm like,
Oh,
where's
that's
this
so
budget coming from?
cool.
I'm not exactly aware, but yeah. What about you? What are your big goals for the year? What are we seeing from you this
I
year?
am going to continue to take up space and
Ooh,
show
that's a
up.
good one.
Even when I feel like it's not perfect, I've like recently started using TikTok. Like it's been like a moment because, like at the end of the day, like I'm a clinician, I'm a clinically trained dietitian. Like they don't teach you anything about running your own business or anything like that. And so like now my practice is completely virtual, which is really cool because I work with clients across the country, some outside of the United States. But to just to continue to create more stuff and like not like to show myself more. I think like people could relate to it, people like it. So it's just like not being in your own head with like everything doesn't have to be perfect. And like, I shared like a video on TikTok which was like chonky girl workout fit. And it like wasn't from an attractive angle, but like I was just being real, like what this is what I'm gonna wear to go work out. And it's not like, all aesthetically pleasing. This is just like the real thing that I'm wearing. And so like sharing stuff like that, I feel like is fun. So that's definitely something. And continuing to prioritize my mental health.
I love your answers. They were much better than mine.
No,
Yes.
yours is so
Yeah. Snaps
good.
to both of those.
Yeah,
Yes.
for sure.
I
I
know I
think.
also struggle with that, of like posting imperfect things or things that I haven't like stared at for 16 hours. But in reality, the more you stare at it, the more you're like, this is horrible. Why did I ever think that this would be a good idea? So yeah, just posting more freely. But yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy, especially again, like I think we all get in our head about like self-comparison and being like, wait,
Yeah.
my photos don't need to be a Kim K level of production.
I don't think anyone's does because it's just not real.
And it's not fun either. So it's like having more fun with this stuff, because like it's not that serious. It's like,
Yeah,
it's really
love
not
it.
that serious. We don't need to be putting our photos through 16 editing apps and then being like, live, laugh, love. Like, we can't live, laugh, love in those conditions.
This is so true. And I think like the more people feel more comfortable with just showing up as themselves, it'll like make other people feel comfortable to do so, which I think is more important. I think it's more cool to see like real life stuff than like perfectly curated, like aesthetically pleasing type of stuff.
Like I, even for myself, I think I'm like my like a, I could create a super Facetune photo that like I have no stomach rolls and I'm looking super snatched, but like that's not interesting. Like I'd much rather post a version of myself where like I have my stomach rolls are showing and I maybe not in the most attractive angle, but I'm being myself. Like
Yeah.
that's much. We're sharing our own reality, so let's be honest about that reality.
I think that's so important as well. And it just normalizes other people feeling normal.
Exactly, because we all deserve to just show up and just be. We don't need to change ourselves to feel good in any environment. You just deserve to exist and take up space in that room, and you don't need to try to shrink yourself to
Yep.
fit into something that isn't authentic, because nobody can fit into that.
This is so true. I love that so much. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We hope that you'll come back on, and I'm sure we'll have
I would
new
love
things to
to.
talk about.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. I hope our conversation was productive and I hope people liked listening to my rambling. But
I
thank you
think they
guys so much for
will.
listening and thank you for having me.
Oh, of course.
It's been the highlight of my week already and it's only
Same.
Monday.
I know it's a great way to start off. And everyone who's listening, if you aren't already following Julia, I will link all of her social media in the show notes. So please give her a follow and support her content. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Thank you.